it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Thursday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports with Kyle Ledbetter behind the glass today. Taking you up to 2 p.m. as always, and we have Kings talk, we have Niners talk, we have Steph Curry nighting talk, we have Kevin Durant talk. We also have Brandon Gustafson, writer for Seattle Sports, who will be joining us at 1 p.m., and maybe we'll have a nice little back and forth with Brandon as it pertains to the Seahawks as the Niners continue their bird watch, trying to take down all the birds that they can. Geno Smith, really good game statistically against the Cowboys, even though the Seahawks weren't able to get it done. We'll see. Could there be a letdown game coming for the Niners? Chris Watkins,
yep.
How you doing?
Great. Did you see the video? I just saw it yesterday come across my timeline of a fan draping over, like, you know how the players run through the tunnel to get back into the locker room after the game? And,
yeah.
You know, traditionally fans and stuff can you know, get their pictures off or whatever, get things signed. A fan had, like, a giant, like, roll-down list of all the bird teams that the Niners are playing.
Oh, and
had
Ayuk personally dropped him a marker
and just he ate that thing out
about
like it was
times.
A preschooler who wasn't drawn between the line. Like,
yeah.
He X'd that thing out like crazy.
Yes.
Shout out that fan, whoever made that. But, yeah, I saw that video and I was like, that's incredible. And I think it had all the bird logos on
right,
it.
Right, right.
That I saw that come across my timeline the other day and I was like, that is fantastic.
A well-done sign is
really
always
good.
Appreciated.
Yeah,
it's
really
always appreciated.
They're trying to take sign culture away. Don't.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because people who aren't like real, you know, didn't grow up going to games, don't understand what it's like to be a kid and, you know, how exciting it is to bring a sign into the game. They're like, you're blocking my vision. Please. I paid $300 for these seats and I haven't seen a second of this game because your child is holding up a sign. So now you're only allowed like a single piece of paper. And so now you see people like, you know, get creative and bring four of those pieces of paper and we'll tape it together. But, yeah, I mean, they're trying to destroy sign culture in sports in general, and it's just like it's a stadium policy. Like,
there's also people whose signs have ruined it for everyone else.
For sure, of course.
Sure. I mean, look, back in my day when I was in my music festival era, there was those big signs that would, hey, I can't see
anything.
Right,
the person behind me can't see.
Right, and they're using it so that your friends, you know, hey, where are you? Follow the big bird, right? But then meanwhile, I can't see past the big bird. So I guess I get the etiquette portion real quick because we're talking etiquette here.
Yeah.
I did see homeboy in the gym last night.
Really?
Mr. Squatter. But I beat him.
Beat
so
him to
I had
the spot.
Already
nice.
Done my thing.
Yeah.
And then he came in and I saw somebody else and I almost wanted to say, hey, if anybody wants to squat, you better do it now because he's going to be on there for about 40 minutes. So I beat
was
him.
Was there any sort of looks or anything?
No,
or
he just came in with his significant other again and I was already done. And really,
did he give you a walk by?
No,
you know?
But he went right to the squat rack and somebody else was on it and he was just getting ready to sneak in there.
So this is a pattern.
This is a pattern. That's what, you know, this is, hey, appreciate somebody doing leg day.
For sure.
But
don't,
you know,
skip it.
The tough part for me is that I'm supposed to, when I'm doing my Achilles work, I like to warm up to it. I don't want to come in and first off start ripping squats, but I have to kind of cut down. Don't tell my physical therapist. I got to cut down the amount of workouts that I do prior to because there's only one squat rack.
Right.
And a couple of days ago, this person didn't stay long. I might have plans because there's nobody in there. It was Saturday. There's only three of us. This guy happened to hop on right where in my mind, okay, squatting is next. So a lot of times I got to just get it done when I get it done. Because when it's only one.
Yeah.
There's only one. So Mr. Squatter, he got to enjoy his time with no looks from me last night. And as we get back to the sign culture, obviously that's why we all love College Game Day. Those signs are hilarious. Different situation. They want their signs to be seen. But I get it. You know, it's the same as what's the rule on if somebody had their kid on their shoulders during a game. You probably can't do
for
that.
Sure. During a concert, something, yeah.
Now, it is different when you're talking about, and this is where you would get different answers, if the person ahead of you, in front of you, is standing,
yeah.
right, you can't tell them to sit. I think I've seen that. I think, didn't we see
that's
that on social media
sure.
not yeah. too long ago? I think during this football season where I think it was somebody was standing and got into it because the person was like, sit down.
Yeah.
Hey, I paid for this seat. If I don't want to sit, there is no rule.
Right.
Right. If you feel like standing, you can stand. And unfortunately, if that person in front of you wants to stand, you probably got to stand too. That's why they're on an incline. So even if there's a vert in front of you, you can still see. But if somebody stands, unfortunately, right. you got to stand too. I don't.
Yeah. I think there's some happy ground of common sense etiquette, though. It's like, hey, man, like, it's the second quarter. Maybe you don't need to stand
right now. I don't
know,
man. You paid your hard-earned money. You want to stand?
But also, so did everybody else. And that's where it's like, you're not just a man in an arena. You are still a member of society.
I don't know what the rule is.
It's just common courtesy. Just be polite.
Yeah,
exactly. But what if the team, hey, I'm hyped. I want to stand.
No, I mean, yeah, if you're cheering and stuff, like, it's okay. But again, it's like, you can't stand the entire, like, you have to understand that other people also.
It's really, it's a tough.
It's a tough line. It's a thing where, you know, common sense isn't always the same amongst everybody. And some people may think, hey, me standing for 5 minutes in a row is fine, or me standing for 15 minutes is fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other people, I don't know. It's tough to judge. It's tough to, mm-hmm. There's no rule book. It's kind of like golf etiquette. It's just kind of one of those things where you're just kind of supposed to know, but nobody's ever going to tell
you.
If
you're the only
person
anywhere. And I think it also, does it matter home or away? This is a confusing
right,
one. Because
it's like, if you're a road fan, it could add to the, this guy's being obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
and
he's
maybe they are.
Own this. And maybe they are. And are they in their rights? As long as it's, you know, fair and safe and
get your
fine,
money up.
You know?
I'm in
yeah.
front of you. I probably paid more for my
you could
ticket.
Exactly, because that could also be your argument is, hey, I paid whatever. You paid $800 for these front row seats. This is an experience of a lifetime. I'm just trying to enjoy it the most I can. And
get your
who am
paper
I to tell
up.
You that you can't do that? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's really tough.
It is. Yeah. You know, it reminds me, it's a little bit different, but it does remind me of my days on the train, obviously, BART, right? Going back and forth
right.
from work back in the day. And, you know, a lot of times if there was an older woman
right.
or an older man and there's a seat,
of course,
you would get up. Now,
You're supposed to.
There's no rule.
Right.
But it's, courtesy, chivalry, whatever you want to call it. I would say, I'm not going to lie on these airwaves. I would say I got up probably 75 to 80%
right.
of the time. I wouldn't say
can't
every time.
You can't do it every time,
if I'm
right?
on the inside, I'm not going to get up, right? If it's very easy for me to just swap here or there, I'll do it. But then sometimes, a lot of times, I wouldn't have a seat anyway. And you know, if I was coming from Oakland, I'd been sitting for a good bit as well. Anyway, you can
right.
go ahead going into the city. Coming out of the city, most of the time I didn't have a seat. So when I would see somebody of that demographic come on the train and then nobody gave up their seat, I'd have to kind of stop myself from judging.
Right.
Because technically there's no rule. And I don't know what this person has been through this
right.
day. Maybe they got laid off. Maybe they just don't feel like it.
Yeah,
I don't know what they do for a
really
job.
Need to sit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I know it's a little bit different, but ultimately it is
a bit.
It's
pretty, yeah.
It's you could ask 10 people and get 10 different answers.
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I get it because, yeah, again, in this society, it does feel like, you know, you I don't know, like, it's everybody's in their right to do exactly like we said. Everyone's in their right to fan how you want to fan. You paid your hard-earned money for those seats, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it is also you are you can't ignore the fact that, yes, to bring it all back, like, signs are awesome, standing is awesome, fan how you want to fan,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you are also completely disrupting
yes.
everybody else's view, and it becomes a point where it is just like, I paid money for my seats, too, and I would like a good experience as well, and
yeah.
you're just kind of ruining it. And it's not even, you know, I'm not telling you get out of here, I'm just saying, can you take a seat?
Right, we
can
all rally together.
Down? Yeah. I don't know
which side together.
I sympathize with both sides.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think that's going to be a problem for the Thursday night game of the Patriots and Steelers. That's got to be. Nah, I know the
you
under.
You can spread out as much as you want.
No, you can. No, you can lounge. Probably put your feet up, right when you get lucky on a plane and nobody's next to you, or you get a whole road to yourself. That's going to be the game tonight. The over under set at 29.5, the lowest total in an NFL game since 2005. It's got to be. It's so based on how this is written. It's in Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh.
Gross.
I would say that it's got to be top five cheapest tickets or on average of the season, right?
And this isn't even account. We don't even know what's the weather going to be like tonight in Pittsburgh.
Just don't sign me up.
Like, there's no way there's not something better you can do with your day.
No, I don't
Maybe
even
today's
know if
a good Christmas tree setup night. You know,
yeah.
You can presently get a ticket to Acrisure Stadium tonight in Pittsburgh for $35.
That's too much.
That's
way too much.
This is football prices, though. Football prices.
That's
too
much.
That's way too much.
You got Kenny Two Gloves. He's got Mike Tomlin.
There's a lot of seats in that stadium.
I went to the Arizona Cardinals San Francisco 49ers game. Mm-hmm. By far the cheapest ticket all year for the Niners. Okay. Those were cheapest ticket, $100.
Yeah, I mean, that's at Levi Stadium.
That's at Levi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe in Arizona it could be a little bit different. Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, there's going to be a theme of today's show. And the theme is things that are probably going to annoy Chris a little bit. Because that's what's going to happen. We got some things to talk about that I legitimately have questions about Steph Curry hitting the night-night.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris put me on, and we got into it a little bit last week about Jonathan Kuminga. Well, look how the tables have turned. We're going to talk about a trade through the 80 East or 80 West, basically after you pass Scandia. All that and more, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. We have Niners Seahawks this weekend. Will the Niners? There you go again with the Gus Johnson. Will the Niners suffer from everything? And we have Fred Warner saying, hey, we've moved on. We're done with the Eagles for now. We have moved on. And I think that is the correct mentality so they don't have a letdown game. But we will talk with Brandon Gustafson, writer for Seattle Sports, to see what he thinks and what he thinks about. I'm really interested to see what he thinks about Geno Smith.
Because yeah, I know. Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, I thought that was actually good for Seahawks fans. I have two buddies, they're brothers, and they're Seahawks fans. And I said, honestly, this is a bit embarrassing, but I think this is good for you guys, mm-hmm. right? Because at least now you know that there are levels to this. Shout out Meek Mill. And you've gotten as much as you can get out of Geno Smith. Right. It was a good run.
It was.
I know, what was it, Emil on Monday said that Geno Smith won the comeback award, even though he didn't come back from anything. And that's all fine and good, but he's had a good career.
Yeah.
I think if you break it now, you know it's not Drew Locke, even though he loves young Jeezy. That's all cute. But you got to find it somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you trade up. I think that timing works a little bit to trade up. DK is still in his prime, and he would definitely help. Tyler Lockett, which feels like he's another vampire. That's because he never gets tackled. Have you seen the montage of him just falling over? That's exactly how I would play football.
I feel like Tyler Lockett's like and this is going to sound disrespectful, but it's not. Like, he's like a dollar store Tyreek Hill, where it's like he kind of does do really similar things.
Yeah.
It's just he's Tyreek Hill with like way worse PR. You know, he's not nearly as effective, he's been incredibly consistent.
Right,
throughout
and he's
his
a smaller.
Career.
I mean, he was
really
walking
small.
Next to DK,
he's
and I
really
know DK's
small.
Big, but they were walking next to each other on Thanksgiving. And
it looks like DK's child.
It looked a little ridiculous. So, look, shout out to Tyler Lockett. He's had a great career, and partly because he doesn't get hit. But, I feel like the Seahawks, even if they sneak into the playoffs, you got to move on. Your defense is young, going to continue to get better. Your offense is probably somewhat in its prime. What is, you know, we talk about the things that just continue to happen, right? Or just feels like every year there's something. Every year Tomlin can't, since even with Big Ben in his later years, every year the Steelers have terrible weather and they can't find a quarterback, right?
But finish 500.
Every year Lamar loses a weapon right when he needs it. And it seems like, also the secondary for the Eagles every year is never healthy. And for the Seahawks,
and the Niners quarterback gets hurt.
The Niners, hopefully not this season. And every year the running back situation for the Seahawks, somebody's injured.
Yeah.
You cannot stay healthy. It's like the curse of Marshawn Lynch. Ever since they didn't run the football, they cannot. Michael Jordan leaves and the Derrick Rose thing. Yep. It's just like the Chicago Bulls feel like they have a curse. I think that the Seahawks have a curse at the running back position.
That's terrible.
I'm going to ask Brandon about it.
They've had like 10 of them since Marshawn Lynch, and you're right. All of them have been hurt at some point.
And how long's it been? Like 4 years, 5 years since they had Marshawn?
I mean, they
Maybe longer. Maybe longer. Those years with the Raiders.
No, it was way longer, but there was that weird, like, all the running backs got hurt, so they signed him for a playoff game a few years ago.
That's right. Oh my gosh. I forgot about that.
So, like, the real Marshawn era ended. It was the Super Bowl that that Peyton Manning won because he retired that night. He retired the night of the – so 2016.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. And speaking of –
so 7 years now.
Speaking of Marshawn Lynch, the Pac-12, it was the Pac-10 when this happened and when the Pac-12 ended. And it was a great game, by the way, with Oregon and Washington when the Pac-12 people were tweeting and talking about their favorite situations and favorite things that have happened in the Pac-10 or Pac-12, favorite memories, and obviously it's Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
On the medical cart, just gigging, having a good old time. That's when we all should have known that Marshawn Lynch was going to be a guy. And really interesting career for Marshawn Lynch. Not a bust in Buffalo, but he goes to Seattle and is just a completely different beast. They're throwing Skittles. So, yeah, we will talk to Brandon Gustafson, writer for the Seattle Sports at 1 o'clock because it is really interesting what has been happening in Seattle from the running back position. Okay, Chris.
All right.
I actually didn't see this. I was watching the game live. I was watching the Warriors game last night, and I didn't see it happen, right? But the Warriors are losing to the Blazers, who were ended up missing Jeremy Grant, right? He goes out, and DeAndre Ayton wasn't playing. And the Warriors, and this kind of leads us to our Kuminga trade conversation. I see the Sack Chat on the YouTube chat asking who that trade would be for. You got to hang on. You got to hang on and listen, Beamer Beams or Beamly, and we will have that conversation. So Steph Curry hits that dagger, which I don't know if you saw the highlight, but he did a really aggressive hop skip, which I didn't really think he had in his bag that I've never seen before. And he does this aggressive hop skip. He makes a three, and the Blazers, really young team. Chauncey probably should have called a timeout at some point because they were controlling the whole game.
Yep.
They don't. Time is running down. The Warriors are up by one. What can't you do in that situation? Give up a three.
Give up a three.
And as much as I
really
talk about...
only that.
No, and as much as I talk about the Kings probably trapping too much... Chauncey, you got to send a
get
trap.
Get the ball out of Steph's hands.
Get the ball out of Steph's hands. They don't. Steph dances on him like, you know, he's tap dancing
on
him.
Simons.
Yeah,
too.
And Steph hits a three. And what does Steph Curry do after hitting the 3-15 Blazers who are looking to add to their young core, right, and get another lottery pick? Because I didn't like Scoot Henderson last night, by the way. I was not impressed. Maybe it's the rec specs. I don't know what's going on. I was not impressed. That is an ugly shot. I know Steph was mentoring him.
Yeah,
Steph, you need to keep mentoring him.
That, he should not
that is
shoot
how I feel like you
does.
Think De'Aaron Fox shoots. Because it is because that was bad. But anyway, after Steph hits the shot, he does the night-night.
He does.
And I did not see it while I was watching the show. I woke up to it this morning. And he does the night-night. And I'm asking
you. I don't think they showed it on the broadcast.
They did it.
Yeah.
So what was more out of pocket? Steph doing the night-night with the game winner against the Kings in preseason, or Steph doing the night-night last night against the lowly Blazers missing two of their starters?
I actually think it's the Blazers.
As much as I believe that
preseason shouldn't matter, and I thought it was insane that Steph did it in the preseason, at least you can say there's like legitimate beef and history and like very recent history against the Kings. And so you could say, you know, it doesn't matter. It's preseason. Yeah. It's still like a moment in this matchup. I won't call it a rivalry between the two teams. But like to just do it on a Wednesday against the Blazers where, yeah, you're losing the entire game and make a comeback at the end of the game and – you know, Steph had a terrible first half as well. I mean, he went crazy in the second half. Good on him. I think he had 22 or something in the second half. Good on him, but yeah, like you're gonna do that just really says how down bad the Warriors are.
That's what it is.
That was one of those moments where that was almost like the Kings' performance against the Warriors, funny enough, where they're getting killed all game and it feels like you're almost getting ready for this next day of, the repercussions of the loss of, oh my gosh, the Warriors just lost to the Blazers. Like, we are really officially at rock bottom. Chris Paul didn't have a good game. Stephen Clay looked terrible. And then they come back and win. And so to kind of be on the edge of your season completely falling apart and then celebrate it like you kind of just clinched a playoff berth or something, I don't know. I just feel like that's the part about Steph that does. I mean, I get it. He's a showman. It's the Kobe Bryant mentality or whatever of you know, some kid paid to watch me today, yeah. Some Blazer fan who only gets to see Steph twice a year, and I got to show him Steph Curry being Steph Curry. But nah, I mean, I think Steph, enough. Yes, yeah. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I struggle with this one. And, you know, he has a relationship with Scoot, so maybe that's a part of it.
Sure.
I'm still going to sun you. You're coming up, right. But you're not me yet. But, yeah, I didn't have a problem with
it. Is there maybe some,
it?
Like, Blazer, like, I still own you guys, you know, from way back when.
Right,
when
Aaron Rodgers
playoff
type.
Series.
Yeah, you guys are
exactly.
Never going
to. Is this his Aaron Rodgers against the Bears? Own you.
Right, who haven't really, well, even, I would say the.
It's like weird flex,
the
but
Blazers,
okay.
Right, the Blazers have even probably been more competitive
absolutely.
Than the Bears
right.
have towards the Packers. I don't think I necessarily had a problem with it, but I'm really close to having a problem with it, if that makes any sense.
Ooh.
Because, because...
I feel like Senator Palpatine over here.
Yeah, come to the dark side. I understand. Yeah, and I think you laid it out pretty well.
I just think, Steph, enough.
Why you would not have a problem with it. Because you're right. I mean, I had a buddy who was at the game and... You know, you want to get your money's worth.
Totally,
and I get
all
it.
All those Warrior fans were like, win, this is great.
A win is a win is a win, but I do think it more so speaks to where the Warriors are.
They're taking every victory.
They're taking
like
every
it's,
victory
like
that
it's
they
great.
Can. And, you know, we're going to get into Jonathan Kuminga and the curious case of why Steve Kerr just does not want to play these younger guys. So I think that it just speaks more to the state of the Warriors and why Kings fans are always annoyed when the Kings can't get their stuff together around right. the Warriors. Now, when the Warriors were rolling, it was one thing. But this team, as we took a call yesterday, and that caller thought that the Kings would be struggling for that 5th-6th seed just because of the West, and the caller also brought up the Warriors, I think that's where the Warriors are. I think both teams have I would still take the Kings over the Warriors, but they're both in a position where they need to make some decisions.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr last night eventually said, if you watch the game, Klay Thompson didn't come in for a very long time, and Steve Kerr said that it's time for him to, and we've talked about this with the Kings, it's time for him to maybe look at more game-to-game starting lineups versus this is our set lineup. Because I think what he's saying without saying it is, Klay Thompson and to a lesser degree Andrew Wiggins, because of what he does defensively, they can't start every day. That was a very.
Or you want to bench me?
You want to bench me? Is that what you want to do?
You want to bench Wiggs?
You want to bench Wiggs? Whoa, hey, nobody even talked about Wiggs. But, you know, you're up against an athletic team. And what a surprise when you put in your athletic guys in Jonathan Kuminga, things happen, right? So Klay Thompson might be more of an acquired taste at this point, right? And to be honest with you, I don't know what that taste is. I don't.
No,
I don't.
Mean, I think that's the big problem with Klay right now is how, and it's, you could argue it's a bigger question with the Warriors, but it really does affect Klay as well. But is he just running off of reputation? I will rephrase and say, is he riding off the fumes of his reputation right now? Is it, this is Klay Thompson, the name, and not meeting Klay Thompson at where he actually is right here today as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it kind of brings up the conversation we had with Brendan and Frankie, I think it was last week. Klay Thompson or Kevin Huerter? Right here today,
it's Kevin
Huerter.
Let's
truly think about it.
It's Kevin Huerter.
Remove the names. It's the silhouette of player A, player
right.
B. Who is really today the better player? Like, you could argue, you could still say Klay, but I think the bigger point is it's not that far off of a comparison.
No.
And it shouldn't be if you're Klay Thompson, part of the greatest shooting backcourt of all time, and are one of the top three or four shooters yourself.
You could put it on the SAC chat, on the YouTube chat, and the question, if you were to ask Kings fans right now, right, Monty gets a call. Hey, we'll do Klay for Huerter right now. Are you doing it?
Yeah.
I'm not doing it if I'm the Kings.
I don't think you should.
You can't.
I don't think you should, especially when you factor in age and then you factor in contract, which we're not. We're just talking baseline.
This man's getting paid
$42 million. Come on.
All right, we got to get to a break. Kyle said we got to go. When we get back, we are making our picks to win the in-season tournament. Do you care now that the Kings are out? It's kind of a big deal now, of course, now that Sacramento is no longer in the tournament. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. It's Friday Eve. There you go. Let's see here. I'm looking at the date. Friday Eve. Oh, this is a weird one. I don't know if it's going to be payday Friday for a lot of people. But if it is, shout out to you.
It is for me.
There you go, Kyle. Well, we will give you a shout out tomorrow for payday Friday if it is. Hey, as you know, as the accountant here, and as my mom always says, hey, you get paid, pretend like you didn't. Don't spend like you got paid.
Okay.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Mom.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be following that advice for
sure. You got to. You got to. Well, you know who is going to get paid at the end of, I would say, this season is Juan Soto, who is now a New York Yankee. And we messed with Franco Cardo. It's been a while since I've said
Come
it.
On.
It's been a while. I went all yesterday without saying Franco. But we talked to Franco Cardo yesterday, Frankie Cardicelli, our one of two resident Yankee fans here at Sacktown Sports, Jason Ross, the other Yankee fan. And we were giving him a hard time about the Little League ballpark that is Yankee
Stadium. We were really giving him a hard time.
It was mostly me.
Yeah, you know Chris Watkins.
Always talking trash about baseball.
And look, you still got to put the bat on the ball. We saw Joey Gallo, who is another big lefty.
Right.
He couldn't do anything in that ballpark. And as they say, the lights may be too bright. I mean, Juan Soto wasn't outstanding in San Diego, and Kyle, our resident Padre fan, can kind of confirm. He warmed up a little bit.
He was our best hitter last year, which I know isn't saying a ton,
sure.
But Juan Soto was really good.
He's really good. He's 25 years
old. During that World Series run, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Didn't he get MVP in that World Series?
Oh, for the Nationals? No, that was Strasburg. Oh.
Strasburg got it. But that was supposed to be his coming out party. He already has a World Series ring. So we'll see what he's able to do. I saw yesterday on MLB Network or one of the stations, they have him projected to play right field. He is a corner outfielder. I like him better in left.
But they also got Verdugo, who's a left fielder, I guess, at this point. So I don't know.
They still need pitching, and they still need somebody either that can hit a curveball when it's cold outside. So until the Yankees fix that, I don't know what to make of them. So shout out to the Yankees. He's already clean shaven. You don't have to shave.
Was so close to getting a Juan Soto jersey.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
We were so close. Just,
you know, nowadays, if it's basketball, you never know. They might just decide, I don't want my contract anymore. If it's football, might be the safest sport to buy a jersey in.
Because players don't have leverage in negotiations.
Exactly. Unfortunately, since they have
supporters, players don't have power in that sport.
Yeah, that's the best one to buy a jersey in, or you know. So Juan Soto to the Yankees. We're still on Shohei watch. Apparently, Shohei is supposed to make his decision before the end of the weekend. So before the end of the weekend, we will know where Shohei is going. Giants' second best odds, which is fitting because they are always the bridesmaid.
Of course.
So I don't know if Giants fans should feel good about that or feel and have night flashes and heat and
little
night
Charlie
sweats
Brown
about
syndrome
it.
Here.
Exactly. It's Groundhog Day all over again. So we'll see where Shohei ends up. Now let's talk in-season tournament and picking the winner of the in-season tournament. Let's go around the room here. Kyle, you got the Bucks. You got the Lakers, you got the Pacers, and you have the Pelicans.
Pellies.
Okay, so I feel good that
was quick, Chris.
Yeah?
Oh, is that your pick?
No,
or you just saying Pellies?
I was just saying Pellies.
Just Pellies is fun to say.
Yeah.
The Pels.
Yeah.
The young
cans.
Pels. The young Pels.
So I feel like whoever comes out of the East is going to win, but I don't know who's going to win between the Bucks and Pacers tonight. That game is going to be really fun to watch. Like, I don't know if I'm as excited about Lakers-Pelicans, but I'm thrilled to watch Bucks-Pacers. So.
And you think the winner of that will win the whole thing?
Yeah, the winner of that will win the whole thing. I guess because I don't want to be lame, I'll say the Bucks.
Okay. This, you know, and one storyline that hasn't been talked about a lot is I know he went to a Western Conference Finals, but this is another opportunity for Damian Lillard, who they've been in the playoffs, and you don't got to deal with Steph this time, Dame, so maybe you'll be able to get it done. So I think that's a storyline. This would be the first opportunity for Damian Lillard, who hasn't played outstanding to start the season, to say, hey, you know, you don't have to deal with the Celtics because they lost. So, hey, we're in the building, and we can really get this done. So, Kyle, you have the Bucks.
I'll take the Bucks.
I'm shocked that more people, to your point, aren't talking also more about the Zion LeBron-ness of this all. Like, this would have been, like, pay-per-view television. Right. Like, this is the future against the Pat, or I mean, I guess there, with Anthony so many Davis. Questions about, yeah, and Anthony Davis's return, or I guess, revenge against the Pelicans, and Brandon Ingram's revenge to the Lakers.
That's all,
as well.
Folks. That's so all,
it's,
folks.
It's all involved in there. But I agree with, I don't really think either team in the West has a really good shot. Unless the Pacers are, I kind of think the Bucks are going to take it. If the Pacers make it to the final, I do kind of like both of the Western Conference teams a little bit more, but I feel like the Bucks are just a really tough matchup at the end of the day. Like, when it comes down to it, I don't know if anybody can slow down Giannis, and you throw Dame onto there as well. Like, I just don't think that either or any of the teams really present anybody who can slow those guys down. So I'm just going to have to take the Bucks.
Really, guys? Did you not see the game two nights ago? You think Adam Silver ain't letting LeBron take this thing home, the inaugural NBA Cup? All I'm going to say is this. I'm not going to go full tinfoil hat. I normally don't do that until after 11. So I'm not going to go full tinfoil hat yet. All I'm going to say is, if you're the Pelicans or whoever has to go up against the Lakers, don't let it be close. Don't let it be close.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Don't put it in the NBA's hands.
Don't.
Not in Las Vegas.
Not in Las Vegas. Come on. Not in Las Vegas. Okay? So I'm going with the Lakers. That's what I'm saying. Because the way they play, they're going to start whipping their head like Willow Smith. You got D'Lo doing it. Austin Reeves doing it. Ah, on my neck, my back. And they're going to get to the free throw line. LeBron is going to be LeBron. AD is going to, because you know AD is in spurts, very similar to his counterpart Zion, right? So AD is going to have, all you need is two good games. You can get two good games from AD, right? Normally not in a row, but I think that they got enough. The lights might be...
AD's going to be motivated, too.
AD's going to be motivated. I think the lights might be too bright for the Pelicans. I think are similar, right? I don't think that... We have not seen the Pelicans go on a run. They play darn good against the Kings. I don't see them playing like that again. Austin... So I know you like Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves
is a prime... He is a prime... he's a national game merchant. He's a national game merchant. When it's a national game,
he likes it when the lights are brightest.
He likes it when the lights are bright. He will be boogieing on people, and then we'll have to have this conversation about, did we write off Austin Reeves too quickly? He's not good on NBA League Pass, but he's good when the lights are bright.
In a playoff game last year, he waved off LeBron on the wing and called
him.
He
already did it. He already showed up. In this last game, right, that the Lakers beat the Suns.
That was nuts.
So I think Austin Reeves goes off. I think LeBron is LeBron. And I think it is just too obvious here.
Yeah.
The Lakers will win the cup, because that is the one team, I would argue, that can power through the, nice little... I know they'll get jokes to say, okay, you can win a bubble championship and win the in-season tournament. Right. Can you win the real thing? But at the same time, it's LeBron. It's the Lakers. It's Hollywood. In L.A., they'll have... Because I don't know what... We were talking... I don't know what those crowds are going to look like in L.A. I don't know how many people are flying out.
Oh, in Vegas. I didn't even think about that.
In Vegas.
Yeah,
because
there's going to be tons of L.A. people
if you
there.
Are a Laker fan... I mean... Laker fans is easy if you're in California. It's a quick trip.
Right.
But in terms of, we just found out. So you found out 2 days ago. Are you really firing up a flight to go to Vegas if you are a...
It's not even a flight, though. It's like a, 2-3 hour drive from L.A., I think, though?
Closer to four.
Yeah, but you could do it.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Especially on short notice.
But I'm saying that would have to be all... L.A.
But there's
Laker
also
fans.
Just enough Laker fans out there in the universe in general to where, I mean, especially more than Milwaukee Bucks fans or New Orleans Pelicans or Indiana Pacers fans.
Well, they're going to do something because they're not going to want it to
think
look.
About, I didn't even
you know they don't want it to look empty in there. So I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe it'll be the camera view. I don't know what they're going to do, but they will make sure it does not look empty in there.
It's a 20,000 seat arena. I don't think there's any way it's going to look empty.
No, right. There's no way.
That was probably on purpose.
I think there's probably going to be like 13 to 14,000 Laker fans. I think that there's going to be a huge percentage of Laker fans there.
But if I'm a Laker fan in LA, I guess unless you can just take off the weekend, I would definitely wait to see. I think the problem is tonight's game.
Tonight's game, you know what I mean? Definitely in question.
I would wait to see if they win, and then we're mobbing out on Saturday.
For sure.
I think this is a game. I'm very interested to see
what the crowd looks like on a Thursday in Vegas,
exactly
in the middle of December.
And that Eastern Conference game, I think the NBA just has to pray.
Because that's Bucks at 2 o'clock, isn't it? I think that game is starting like right when we get off air today.
If I'm not mistaken.
And so it's like, I mean, they're you could almost argue they're just
those tickets
conceding.
Gotta be. What's cheaper, those tickets?
I got the answer for you right here. If you had to guess, what do you think is cheaper? What do you think is cheaper? Patriots Steelers tonight or the first game between the Pacers and Bucks?
It's got to be
Pacers. It better be Steelers.
I'm going with the Patriots basketball game.
It better be football.
It's basketball. The second game is not. So the ticket prices as they stand for the.
So they're individual tickets, too.
Yeah, they're individual. So they're going to like clear out the arena and then you come back in.
That's what they do for March Madness, kind of. You have to buy packages.
You can't really sit there. You buy like a two-game package
right. And then you have to get the second half. So the Pelicans-Lakers game tickets cheapest right now are $80.
Okay.
For Pacers and Bucks, cheapest tickets are $16.
They're going to be giving away. I guarantee you every casino is going to say, hit on black and we'll give you tickets to the game too. Just go. Because I think this is also a quiet time for Vegas.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I don't think this is a really busy time
for
Vegas. Now, the Raiders do play at home because that's why you'll be at the Vikings game. But I'm... There will be some camera tricks. Look out for the trickery.
It's going to be a blacked out crowd.
Somehow.
You're just going to see the floor.
We want it to look like LA, so you can't actually see the crowd. There's just a spotlight, and we're just going to go like the Seattle Seahawks and just
pump up the sound
the whole time. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, CP3 versus Scott Foster. What happens in round two? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Niners, Seahawks, Kings, Suns. Kings, Suns, it's going to be a good game, man. This is another team with some length. Kevin Durant is cooking. I mean, I still can't get over the splits. Can you say the splits again? Just
the
roughly.
Kevin Durant splits?
Actually, the most important one is Kevin Durant is shooting 50% from three-point land.
It's insane.
That's absurd.
He's quite literally shooting 50% on the dot from three. It's ridiculous. His numbers just don't make sense this year, especially, again, when you factor in the fact that he's 35 years old. Okay, I will not disrespect and say 36. He is 35 years old. He's got all the wear and tear on his body. He's only taking 4.6 threes per game, which does seem low, especially for a guy like Kevin Durant. And then when you consider De'Aaron's taking 8.2.
Yeah, that's true. He's got to distribute, too, because everybody's always injured.
Exactly. So, yeah, KD's shooting split so far on the season. Again, 31 points per game. He's averaging 36.7 minutes, which is 0.1 minutes more than De'Aaron is. So he's putting in a ridiculous amount of time every single game, shooting 52% from the field, 50% on the dot from three, 89.2% from the field. Again, 31 points per game. Just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. So we will see Kevin Durant up close and personal tomorrow night as the Kings take on the Suns. And we will break down the legacy of Kevin Durant here in the next segment. And I'm really interested to see what people think because he's kind of gone from a villain to I don't really know how many. When the Suns come to town, we got to beat the Suns. It's almost the one big three that doesn't really give you any emotion. Maybe that's because they haven't played as a big three yet.
Exactly.
Maybe that's part of it. And Bradley Beal, unless you're a real hoop fan playing all those years with the Wizards, I don't know how many people have actually. That was a name floating around very similar to a Zach LaVine.
Yeah,
because,
totally.
Hey, these are names, but how many Sacramento Kings fans or any West Coast team that is clamoring for Bradley Beal, how many Wizards games have you actually fired up, right? So
this is how I felt about people who said they love Drew Holiday. I'm like, you're not watching him on the Pelicans.
This is how I feel about OG and Anunoby currently.
I feel that way, too. I feel that way, too.
How many people are really out here watching Raptor
games? It's a name.
How many people are watching LaMelo Ball outside of highlights?
Yeah,
but that's all you need, right? That's why the OG Anunoby thing is even funnier, because he doesn't have highlights.
No.
LaMelo, at least you have highlights, right, to go off of. But
that's a great shout, Chris.
But, yeah, no, that is a good call. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to our guy, Willie. Willie, word on the street is you were driving and you heard our talking about Steph Curry and you had some thoughts. What you got for us, Willie? Styles and Watkins.
Man, and then y'all talked about Clay. Let me tell you something, man. Look, you guys got to put things in context.
Okay.
I know you got to do a show. I know you have to come up with, you know, ideas and stuff like that. But look, man.
Mm-hmm.
Clay has always been a Kings killer, man, his whole career, man. I think he scored 37 in one quarter against the Kings.
Really? That was a long time ago.
It don't matter. Look, Clay, look, man, Clay is instrumental in those four championships they got.
Hey, so Michael Jordan was instrumental in the Bulls' six championships, too.
Don't hold up on me. Listen to me. Hold on. Look, the Kings passed up. Okay, check this out. This is context. The Kings could have drafted Steph. The Kings could have drafted Clay. The Kings could have drafted Luka. You know, we got to put all this stuff in context. You know, I'm a Kings fan.
I know.
But we got to be real. Just like when we call in, like after the Kings lost the two games to Houston and the three games to New Orleans, and we call in and we fans and we venting, and y'all, I mean, especially Drake, man, especially Cat.
But Willie, we know the history. Trust me, I know it well. My question is this: right now,
today,
you are the GM for the Kings. They say, hey, we'll give you Klay Thompson for Kevin Herter straight up. Are you doing it?
I'll take him. Hell yeah, I'll take him. You got championship experience, man. And look, every great player go through a slump.
Uh-huh.
Every great player go through a slump. And then you got Stanley. Is Stanley Johnson coming to the Kings or what?
No, he's not.
Maybe.
No, he's not.
Eventually.
No, he's not.
Man, that would have been a nice little upgrade. It would have been a nice little defensive upgrade. When people call in and say, HB, I mean, he averaging two rebounds a game.
Three.
You know, Drake kill you, man. Well, who do you want to replace him with? Who do you want to be? Nobody's saying they want to replace him, man.
I know.
It's just that we just talking facts. We got to do better on rebounding. And if he's going to be a starter, I don't care what he's done. Like you say, care what he's done in the past.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Willie. Thanks for
the call.
Look, the Klay Thompson thing is fine. I get the championship experience.
I get
it. And there, look, if you want to take Klay over Kevin Herter, that's fine.
More power to you.
All I'm saying is that it's closer.
Yes.
Than I think a lot of people thought it would or should be.
You could
even say that is a bit sad.
Yeah.
Right? Because we know it's due to injury.
Right.
We get all that. But the fact remains, I watched the game last night.
Right.
Klay Thompson makes one shot, and it's go time.
Yeah.
It's go time. He took one of the worst three-pointers, and you have Warriors media calling him out. The kid gloves are off.
Yeah.
Right? Steve Kerr said himself, they've been saying, they're putting out the geriatric five. That's what they're saying over there in the Bay. Because they continue to start Klay and Wiggins when they're stinking up the joint.
Yep.
And I get every year they do this with Klay. And I get it. At the beginning of the season, we talked the same thing about Kevin Herter. And Kevin Herter was in a slump. I get it. I'm just saying it is much closer than you think. That's it.
Especially when you're talking about what they're being asked to do. Like, Klay Thompson at this point in his career is not being asked to do the same things he was being asked to do previously. Now he's pretty much just a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they ask him to do.
Right.
Well, if you're only really being asked to be a scorer, he's shooting 39% from the field and he's shooting 34% from three. That's not good at all.
No.
Like, that's not, that is, again, we're talking right here today. that's something that Kevin, I mean, shoot, that's what Keegan Murray's shooting right now, and he's having a terrible season in terms of where he's probably been his entire life.
Here you go. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I can guarantee you that Klay Thompson is putting up more shots than Kevin Huerter. Here are the stats real quick before we get to the break. Kevin Huerter is averaging 12.9 points. We could call it 13 if you want. 4.7 rebounds and 3 assists, shooting 45%. Klay Thompson is averaging 15 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 2.2 assists, shooting 39% from the field. And we got to get to break. I will read it off. I can guarantee you Klay is taking way more shots than Kevin Huerter. I can guarantee you that much, all right? So, look, there is no wrong answer. There is no wrong answer. But to act like it's not close right now, it is close. It is close, all right? Got to get to a break when we get back. Talking more Kings. Also talking a former Warrior who is going to face the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. Kevin Durant, what do you think of when you think of Kevin Durant? What's his legacy and what will it be? Styles and Watt.